For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
All right, let's kick off the leg show. And to my colleague and friend, Jason DeRusha, no, I am not upset about what happened last night. We will start with Minnesota Vikings football. We'll get to some other matters here over the course of the next 3 hours, but that's where we'll start because that is what everybody is talking about the day after the Vikings get bounced by the Los Angeles Rams. No, I am not upset. I'm not mad about it. I'm disappointed, but I'm not upset about it. It was a good year for Minnesota Vikings football. Sam Darnold was a surprise in terms of what he was able to provide and give the team this year. Didn't expect that. Just the overall amount of wins for the Vikings, the fact that they were a playoff team, was a surprise. So I'm not going to look at this year as a failure. Now, I am one that always states that during the course of an athletic season, you reevaluate everything with your team based on what happens in the first part of the year. And you can change your expectations. And you should do that. I don't care what team it is, whether it's the Timberwolves last year, whether it was the Vikings this year, whether it's the Minnesota Wild this year, doesn't matter who. The Lynx last year. Nobody thought that the Lynx were going to go to the WNBA Finals. You change based on how a team is playing. But I cannot realistically, at least I'm not going to, sit here and be upset with what happened. If you want to vent and express your feelings on KOC, on Brian Flores, on Sam Darnold, on everything, 651-461-9226. That's the talk and text line. I'd love to hear from you. Either way. And I'm disappointed because anytime your team goes to the playoffs, you want to win. And when you win as many games as the Minnesota Vikings won this year, it's reasonable to expect that you're going to win a playoff game, right? Most years, you're going to end up with the number one seed. Wasn't the case this year. I get it. And it's frustrating. But I'm not sad about it. I'm not mad at Sam Darnold. I'm not. Sam Darnold played well for this team this year. Am I signing up for Sam Darnold to return next year? No, I'm not. It's JJ or you're going to slot somebody else in there until JJ's actually ready to go. But I'm not paying big money to Sam Darnold. I don't think that that's the way that this team should go. Now, Sam Darnold, to be honest, lost a lot of money the last couple of weeks. And so there's no telling how much money he's going to make next year. But I think that there is enough, if you want to say the blame game, you can spread it around. 651-461-9226. Sam Darnold, atrocious the last couple of weeks. And yes, I get it. The offensive line wasn't great last night. There were numerous times he dropped back, and he knew he had to get rid of the damn football, and he didn't. Throw the damn ball, man. Stop running 10 yards behind. You're not running anywhere to escape the rush. Get rid of it. Now, KOC, some people look at KOC and be like, KOC? Dude, are you ready for the playoffs? Because last night, even late in the game, when they were behind, it wasn't like they were up in the temple. It wasn't like KOC was dialing it up. And I'm like, what are we doing here? So KOC, yeah, he's at fault. Brian Flores, your defense, the first quarter, atrocious. I'm sorry. And yes, I know that we got a Hall of Fame quarterback in Matthew Stafford you're going up against. But my goodness, Matthew Stafford came out and he was surgical. He was eating us up. And I'm like, what the heck is going on here? Our running game wasn't existent, wasn't there. And that's another thing. We can sit here and we can talk about Sam Darnold, time to move on. I think we move on from Aaron Jones too. We need a running back. We've got to add somebody in there at the running back position. Not Cam Akers. Ty Chandler, clearly they don't believe in him. He's not the answer. We have to do something at that position. So there are several different things that have to be dealt with here in the offseason. Now, is Brian Flores going to return? Will he get a coaching job? Who knows? We'll see how things shake out. But the bottom line is, I'm not sitting here today upset, ticked off. It is what it is. And it isn't one of those things where it's like, I was just resigned to the fact that this is what the Minnesota Vikings do in the postseason. No, I don't think that way. There's going to be a year where you go ahead and you punch your ticket to get into the Super Bowl. I don't think that this year's team was constructed to go that far. At least that's me.
No, this was supposed to be a year of transition anyway.
Rebuild.
Yeah. And to me, yeah, when it's all said and done, I say to Sam Darnold, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be along for the ride as Vikings fans, because we were supposed to only win 6 or 7 games. Nobody imagined that it would have gotten to this point. And you're right. As you go along, your expectations change because games and scenarios start to play out. You're like, well, maybe this team is better than we thought. Maybe this team has a shot. Like, if things break right. Last night was one of those nights that, you know, coming off of the game against Detroit, I think the Vikings did the right thing. Like, a month ago, the talk was, oh, man, Sam Darnold, you got to sign him to a long-term deal. You got to trade J.J. McCarthy instead of just letting it play out. Now that you've allowed it to play out, I think this organization is on the right path. They're making the right moves. They wait till the end to figure it out. You don't prematurely, you know, make something based on a small sample size. And now you go into the offseason, got all this cap room, and now you start focusing on the draft, because ultimately the draft is where Kwesi, he has to prove it. Kwesi's got to prove it, because the draft is the lifeblood. But yeah, to be upset like in years prior, I can't be, you know, I woke up this morning, I didn't feel at all like bad or angry or anything.
No.
I woke up and I was like, okay, it's another day. It's a Tuesday. Get up, do my thing, get ready for the show.
Oh, we got some texts. We're going to get to these texts. Hey, 651-461-9226. If you'd like to call in, love to hear you on the airwaves. We got a couple of texts. People are already chiming in with regards to KOC and the Vikings and the way that things kind of shook out here the last couple of games. At 6:35, we will be joined by Ahmad Hicks from Fox 9 to talk about the Vikings. He's outstanding, covering the Minnesota Vikings and just covering all sports here on the landscape for Fox 9. He does an incredible job. But he will join us to talk about what took place with the Vikings and maybe potentially address some issues that they some things that maybe they need to address here in the offseason. But love to take your phone calls, love to take your texts, and we'll do that next here on The Lake Show.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the text line weighing in on the Vikings. Start doing this when you win the toss. Take the damn ball and set the tone for the game last night. The Rams scored on their first possession. Vikings need to set the tone for the game. I don't think that the Minnesota Vikings lost the game because they deferred. I don't believe that for 1 second. Setting the tone, I mean, I get it. It's a thing. But let's say that you get a 3-and-out, and then you go 3-and-out. I just don't think that taking the ball or deferring had anything to do with it. Like, they didn't. I mean, there's something to be said about setting the tone. How about you? How about you set the tone defensively? That it's going to be a long day for Matthew Stafford. You can set the tone defensively. You are allowed to do that, and they didn't do that.
Yeah, what you want to do is ultimately you want to put yourself in a position where you can get that first 3-and-out, and then you have the advantage because you're going to get the ball first in the second half, and you can set it up, you know, as a 2-for-1, the end of the first half. So there, I mean, that's why you see a lot of teams when they win the toss, they defer to the second half. You ultimately want the ball to begin the second half. I understand wanting to set the tone, but if they were going to do it, they had to have done it defensively.
For the 3-2-0, I'm just disappointed how badly Kevin O'Connell was outcoached in those last two games. I do think he was outcoached in the last two games.
Absolutely, 100%.
I don't think anybody can dispute that. Like, clearly, he was outcoached the last two games. Do I think lesser of Kevin O'Connell? Not really. We expect that he's going to continue to get better as a head coach. Like, you don't think that a guy is going to have it all figured out in just the first few years on the job. It takes a little bit of time. But the bottom line is, I believe in Kevin O'Connell. I think he's ascending. I don't think that we've seen the best of Kevin O'Connell. But the bottom line is, I think he's a good coach. But yeah, the last couple of weeks, not the greatest of weeks for him. And I will say this. A texter says this too, with regards to the 612 area code. They say, did these last two losses hurt Flores? I don't think they helped him. I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to sit here and say that they hurt him, but they definitely did not help. What's the best way to put it? I expected more out of a Brian Flores defense than what we saw last night.
Yes. Yeah. I would have expected a lot more as well. I think that it helps the Vikings in the sense that it makes it more likely that Brian Flores sticks around. And I think that that's, you know, maybe not necessarily the worst thing for the Vikings, but I do think that when it does come to, you know, you got to figure out, is Brian Flores, is he head coach material right now? Is he ready for it? Maybe he is. I don't know if the last two games can really, I don't know if, it depends on what GMs are looking for. Are you going to look at the last 2 weeks and say, well, this is what it is? Or are you going to look at everything in its totality like we're trying to do with Sam Darnold? So I think it's good news for the Vikings. I got to be honest, but we'll wait and see.
If the Minnesota Vikings won and they got a bye, and let's say they won a game in the postseason, or even if they had a one last night, I think that Brian Flores probably gets a much better look, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with them getting, them having the early exit, I think that
it doesn't help.
Well, it doesn't help, but I think that Brian Flores, also you kind of wonder what's up with the lawsuits, because the lawsuit stuff is still out there. If I had to pick what I think is going to happen for him in the offseason, I'm going to guess that Brian Flores will be back.
Yeah, that's my thinking as well. And you mentioned the lawsuits. That's the baggage that's kind of hanging over Brian Flores' head. Until all of that has kind of subsided, and he said it's got to be the right job. Well, you look at it, and is there a job out there that is going to be more appealing than what he could have here? I don't know.
For Brian Flores?
Yes.
Yeah, having a head coaching job is more appealing than being an assistant.
Well, I agree, but you know, let's say you get into a position where it's is working for Jerry Jones as a head coach more appealing than being an assistant coach right now with Kevin O'Connell?
Unless you are on a staff that is, unless you're on a staff that goes to the Super Bowl often, I don't think that there's any assistant coaching job that's better than a head coaching job. Like, you get a chance to do something.
Yeah, and that's fair.
And it's one of, what, 32 jobs?
Yeah, they're very coveted. They're very coveted. And I do hope that he does get another shot, because he does deserve it.
He deserves it, yes.
But I would really like to – I'd like to see another year or two of Brian Flores in this system, because I think we've started to see what this defense can be. I mean, you can't fix everything all in one year. Like, you can't. But I feel like this year, I don't know how I feel, Henry, I feel like it was five steps forward and then three steps back.
I think that if Brian Flores
– And that's overall as a team.
I think that if Brian Flores returns for another year with the Minnesota Vikings, I think that next year will be his final year with the Vikings. The reason why I say this is because there's only so many years that you have your name continue to be talked about in those circles before things start to fall off. I think it's criminal that Eric Bieniemy never got an opportunity to be a head coach. You know, Eric Bieniemy went to Washington, was there for a year, and then I don't know why he left to go take the UCLA. That just didn't make any sense to me. Do I think that he'll latch on with somebody? Of course he will, because he's too good of a coach as a coordinator. But the bottom line is, you got to take advantage of those opportunities when they're presented to you. Text line. Vikings fans seem to have a loser mentality. I woke up and was fine with losing. Really. I mean, really. This one from the 320, I agree 100%. I think Kevin O'Connell was outcoached by far the last two football games. And then finally from the 763, never disappointed if never any expectations. Minnesota sports teach this well. I won't say that now. Like, why would you never have any expectations? What's fun with being a sports fan and not expecting to win? That's not fun. Don't expect to lose.
Yeah, if you get yourself emotionally, people don't want to get emotionally invested because they don't want to get hurt. And I mean, as for waking up in the loser mentality,
doesn't everybody want to fall in love?
Yeah, we want to fall in love, and then you get your heart broken, and guess what? You go back and you fall in love again. Yeah, and I mean, as for the loser mentality, this isn't like 98 or 2009 where you look and they're like, man, they're a premier team in the NFL. They had a good year, but I think if you've got realistic expectations, you can't be upset over how you can be frustrated and disappointed, but I don't think you can be mad.
Yeah. All right, 651-461-9226. Coming up next, a guy that's been outstanding at covering the Minnesota Vikings for Fox 9, Ahmad Hicks. He joins us next year after weather on The Lake Show.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Clearly just didn't play good enough the last couple weeks. Left too many throws out there that I would usually make, and got to take better care of the football today, especially. But, yeah, just missed opportunities. Got to take care of the football, can't have the interception, can't have the fumble.
All right, that was Sam Darnold after the game last night. Probably his last time quarterback in the Minnesota Vikings. We don't know. He's a free agent. We'll see how things shake out. But we love and enjoy checking in with people from Fox 9. That is my favorite station. It goes without saying. And typically it's Randy Meyer or Kelsey Carlson. Tonight we talk to Ahmad Hicks. That's my sports guy there at Fox 9. He joins us here courtesy of the John Schuster Caller Banker Hotline. He's as good as you're going to find in the market covering the Minnesota Vikings and sports in general. Give him a follow on X at Ahmad Hicks TV. Joins us now. Ahmad, how you been, man?
Mike, what's going on, my brother? Happy New Year, should I say. Haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute, man. But, you know, we'll get back into the Wolves, yeah, I'm sure, at some point. But you are all over the Minnesota Vikings. You do a phenomenal job covering the team as well as all the other sports for Fox 9. Let me start with the specifics of last night with regards to, because I got people on the text line that are asking me, before we can get to Sam Darnold, about Kevin O'Connell. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that Kevin O'Connell, and I guess you can factor in Brian Flores, do you feel like they were out-coached last night?
Brian Flores, I would say not so much. Kevin O'Connell, absolutely. I think he did have some calls to put Sam Darnold and that offense in position, you know, to capitalize and do some things. But I think ultimately he started the game slow. The game plan wasn't right. He didn't, you know, he wasn't able to turn things around or, as people would say, make those halftime adjustments to formulate a new plan. But it's also hard to really make a new offensive plan when you don't have a good offensive line. I don't care how many plays you draw, three-step dropbacks, all that stuff. When you go back and dissect the film, there were plays where Kevin O'Connell did, you know, drop a three-step drop for Sam Darnold. And on his third step, you see three defensive linemen in his face and all the receivers blanketed. So maybe that's play calling, but maybe it's a personnel thing. Kevin O'Connell certainly got out-coached, but I think it was more than just coaching yesterday.
Why do you think that our offensive line struggles so much down the stretch? Because I never really thought that our offensive line was the best. But clearly, we were exposed and our flaws were showcased in the final couple of games. And it's funny because the two teams that beat us this year were both Detroit and L.A.
You know, it's funny that you asked this because I had this same thought in my head last night. I'm like, what went wrong? Like, what did we all miss, you know, like here in Minnesota when we were analyzing these games? And the fact of the matter is this is the same offensive line from 2 years ago when Kirk Cousins was the most hit quarterback in the National Football League. All they did was promote a backup guard in Blake Brandel, and then they brought in Dalton Risner when they finally benched Ed Ingram. Other than that, this is the same offensive line. Everyone got work last night, including Cam Robinson and Brian O'Neill, who make a ton of money. So that's like the biggest flaw. They were able to put a Band-Aid on it this season, and you didn't see it, Lake, because they won and they beat teams with losing records and who didn't have good defensive fronts. Of the 14 wins this season, 10 of those wins came against teams with losing records. The four wins that they did have, you know, against teams with winning records, you're talking about the Houston Texans, Seattle Seahawks, and the Green Bay Packers. So, I mean, it's like they just weren't battle-tested, and you didn't see that until you played a team with a defensive line like the Detroit Lions and the L.A. Rams.
Yeah, we're talking to Ahmad Hicks from Fox 9 here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO about the Vikings' collapse or their loss last night against the L.A. Rams that ends their season. Sam Darnold, clearly the talk of the day. Everybody's asking or talking about Sam Darnold and him potentially not being a member of this organization anymore. I think that the right call is for this team to just move forward with J.J. McCarthy and also have somebody else that signed on, whether it's Daniel Jones stepping in to try to help assist. What are your thoughts on Sam Darnold? Do you think he should return at a reduced rate, or what do you think should happen here moving forward?
If he wants to return at a reduced rate, I think you welcome him back with open arms. I mean, he showed you that he's capable, you know, of winning. And certainly you just don't turn over a new leaf and become like a Pro Bowl quarterback and an All-Pro quarterback in just one season. Like, you certainly need reps. You need repetition in an offense and time to just go back and look at what you did wrong in the offseason and be like, all right, this is what I'm going to work on to improve. But I also think they don't need to spend a ridiculous amount of money on a quarterback, because I'm sure, as you guys will address, there's like 21 free agents for the team this year. They have a lot of holes to fill, so I don't think they have the room to spend a lot of money on the quarterback position, you know. And J.J. McCarthy, if you put J.J. McCarthy in last night, Daniel Jones, Brett Rippon, it didn't matter who played, nobody would have been able to be successful in that offense because of that offensive line. So you need to save some money and go get a lineman.
I just couldn't believe that Sam was holding the ball as long as he was. Like, there were clearly, like, you got to showcase better pocket presence. You know that guys are coming after you. You got to throw it. You got to get rid of it, man. And he just didn't do that last night.
You know what? I agree with you. And when I watched that game, you know, it's the first time I'm with them. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm yelling at the TV. I'm like, get rid of the ball. Please run. Just show your athleticism. Do something. You know, and then when I watched the tape back, you're like, man, these guys are blanketed down the field. Like, they're doubling Justin Jefferson. So when it looks like he's free breaking out on a post route or an out route, there's another safety over the top, you know, to double team him. Everybody else was locked up. I mean, and then he started taking some shots at the end of the game. I thought the best ball from Sam Darnold was the post he threw at the end of the game. He got knocked in the mouth, and Jordan Addison dropped it. And it was like, ah, man. Yep. But he needed more shots like that, you know, earlier in the game. But, you know, I think it was a total team effort last night. You know, I just don't think everybody came to play. And that's offensively. But I think defense kind of stood on their heels, you know, and did what they were supposed to do for a majority of the game outside of that first quarter. You know, they just, the offense didn't put them in a good position.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. And the other thing I think that needs to be addressed, too, is not only the quarterback situation in terms of, like, whether Sam is going to be somebody that's just going to walk, which I expect that to be the case. I think that they got to address the running back position. Not because I don't like Aaron Jones, because I do, but Aaron Jones, to me, in big moments and big spots, I don't know how reliable he is. He does miss some time because he's nicked here, he's nicked there, misses possessions and all that stuff. I think that you got to find a younger running back that you're going to believe in and you can develop. And I'm not sure that Ty Chandler's that guy, but I think that that is definitely a situation they have to address, and Cam Akers isn't the answer either.
Yeah, sorry about my kid in the background. He's having dinner right now. I'm on daddy duty, but in case you guys hear that. But, yes, I totally agree with you, but here's my thing. Aaron Jones, if he wants to come back on a discounted rate, I think you welcome him back with open arms as well, because he's a guy who's proven if he's healthy, he's very reliable as a running back. But that's the thing. He's not really reliable for a full 17-game slate for a full 60 minutes every game, because that position is so physical. Like, he takes a beating. Cam Akers, he has some tread on those tires, and they clearly don't trust Ty Chandler. That's why they went out and got, you know, Cam Akers and traded for him again the second season in a row. So I do think they need to go get a young running back, but at what expense? When are you going to get that running back? I think Kwesi needs to stay away from the shiny objects and all the fancy skill positions in the first round with his first pick, you know, and he needs to go get somebody that's going to be an impact player, because you go look back at his draft picks to Lewisine in the first round, to Jordan Addison, to this past year, and J.J. McCarthy. You need someone that's going to be on the field and be reliable and be like, you know what, that's why they got him in the first round.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, he needs to stay away from the skill players this position. Although they do need, I mean, this draft, but I do think they do need a running back, whether that's free agency or something else.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you, man. All right, so let me ask you this, and this is outside of the Minnesota Vikings situation. Who do you like for the remainder of the NFC postseason? Is there one particular team that you look at and say, this is the team that I expect to come out of the NFC? And then on the AFC side of it, is it – because typically everybody looks and they're like, you know what, it's Patrick Mahomes and everybody else. How do you view the rest of the NFL postseason?
Man, honestly, like, on the NFC side of things, it's going to be very interesting. I don't think that Jalen Hurts and the Eagles possess that passing ability that's needed to get them onto the NFC Championship. So I kind of see an upset right there. You know, I see the Rams being the most dangerous team on the NFC side, especially when you're talking about Matthew Stafford going to Detroit to get back to the Super Bowl. They have that sour taste in their mouths after the way things ended last year when Sean McVay elected to punt, and then Detroit kept the ball and they were able to ice the game, you know, running out the clock. So I think on the NFC side of things, Detroit's obviously the favorite, but if you give the Rams some momentum and they go and go beat the Philadelphia Eagles, I certainly think they have the potential to knock off the Detroit Lions in Detroit at Ford Field. On the AFC side of things, I think you can't rule out Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, but if there's ever a year for Lamar Jackson to win, it's right now. He has to win right now, I believe, if he's ever going to win a Lombardi Trophy. So I'm rolling with the Ravens on the AFC side to upset the Chiefs, and I think that Stafford and the Rams will beat Detroit in a stunner that no one predicted.
Oh, you just predicted it, though. I like it.
Yes.
I like it. That's right. Ahmad's coming spicy. I like it, man. Get spicy with it, bro. Get spicy with it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Stafford, I feel like the way Detroit kind of did him in the playoffs last year, you know, the loss in the opening game, you know, I think that left a sour taste in his mouth. And I think if anyone is capable of going into Ford Field and beating them, you know, and not caring about that crowd noise, it's Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay. You know, like Sean McVay wants to get back to that Super Bowl. They just did it a couple years ago. So, you know, they're not too far removed from that. So I think they're hungry. I think they're capable. Great defensive line, as we saw last night. Good cornerbacks. And they certainly have all the positions on offense. So, yeah, they're built for the long run. And I think Lamar, man, he understands the pressure right now on his career, his legacy. This is a defining year for him. And I think he knows he has to get it done with King Henry on that one-year deal.
So hold on. You absolutely believe that the Rams are definitely getting past Philadelphia?
Yes, I do believe so. Okay. Because Jalen Hurts and them, I think they're very one-dimensional. Yes, Saquon Barkley is a tremendous talent.
He ran all over the Rams.
He did run all over the Rams, but this is a different time of year. They are back healthy now. They have all of their pieces back. So I think there's an opportunity for the Rams to just be stout, but also go point for point with them and show that they can score in those, you know, crucial moments when you need a first down and things like that. So I think it's going to be a very competitive game, but I think the Rams have the edge just because of Matthew Stafford and his ability to close out games.
Hey, Ahmad, man, always a pleasure to have you on the show. You do a phenomenal job on Fox 9. Take care, man. Stay warm, and I'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it, and sorry for the background.
No, we couldn't hear a thing, man. The kid was quiet, man. The kid was quiet. That's Ahmad Hicks from Channel 9 joining us here on The Lake Show on the Good Neighbor News Talk, 830 WCCO. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll wrap up hour one, and we'll do that next. All right, thanks again to Ahmad Hicks for being on the show. I blame you for the loss last night, and you got purple on again tonight.
Well, this is my...
This team makes me drink.
Yeah.
You cursed them last night. You wore the purple.
I did, yes.
Man. Okay.
Yeah, right. I'll take the heat.
Yeah, you're going to take the heat.
Listen, I want this team to go through adversity. I want this team to go through growing pains, okay? I don't want this team to just be able to, oh, guess what, Sam Darnold, it's a great story.
Haven't we been through enough growing pains? What no. other growing pains do you want us?
No,
I feel like I'm Anthony Edwards right now.
Yeah, yes.
Remember last year on the podium, like he's looking at Cat like, well, we don't need to lose anymore.
How much losing we need to do? Damn.
No, right? Come on, man.
No, man, this is my end of the year shirt, okay? This is the this is the shirt that I wear to kind of put a bow on everything. I wear it at the end of every Viking season that ends in a loss, so I've worn it pretty much every year since I've had this shirt.
How many years have you had that shirt?
I've had it since I was in Sioux Falls, and that was 12. So I've had it for 12 years.
Really?
Looks good for 12 years.
It does.
You know?
It looks new.
Yeah. Yeah, I got
it. So you only wear it once a year?
I wear it once a year.
That's a lie. You wear it more than once a year.
I do wear it more than once a year.
It's in good condition, man.
It is. I got it at a kiosk at the Mall of America when we were living
That's a quality shirt.
You like that? Yeah, it was one of those $25 kiosk things. I'm like, okay, I got one for me. I got one for my boss.
Wait, who spends money at a kiosk nowadays?
Well, this was years ago when kiosks were a thing.
At which mall?
Mall of America.
Oh, Mall of America. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does anybody ever spend money at a kiosk at like the Eden Prairie Center Mall? I'm dead serious. At the smaller malls?
The Ridgedale kiosk.
What's the mall in Blaine? Is it Northtown Mall?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Isn't that what it's called? Is it the Northtown Mall?
I think
mall
it might be the Northtown Mall. Yeah, I don't know. It's been a while since I've been up in that area. That you know what though that is kind of funny though because it's like a lot of those kiosks it's like you get harassed by people you're like no
and
no
I'm
no
not, hold on I'm not hating on
no,
the
no,
kiosk
no no I know you're not hating on the kiosk
I gotta be honest with you speaking of kiosk talk I gotta be honest with you and I know that everybody on the text line everybody listening feels this way too I feel a little dirty when the person at the kiosk when they're trying to get my attention and I don't have time.
Yeah, you're just like walking by.
I don't have time. Man. I don't have time for it.
You're trying to sell me a pair of these knockoff Oakleys. I'm like, excuse me, do you want... I'm like, no.
And I feel bad because I know that they're just trying to make
a
living, man. They're just trying to do what they're... But I'm just like, nah.
Yeah,
I don't need the decal. I don't need the I don't need the knockoff shades. I don't need the fake jewelry.
Yeah.
Look, I don't need anything for my cell phone. I'm sorry. I just don't need. And it's not. I'm not trying to be. Yeah, I'm not trying to be mean.
No, I know you're not.
It is what it is.
I know you're not. I know you're not. Yeah, that's... I know you're not.
Kiosk talk on WCC.
What's your favorite kiosk?
When was the last time you spent money at a kiosk? 651-461-9226.
You know, the funny thing was, like, there used to be... I'm a, you know, big wrestling fan. So there used to be this kiosk, again, at the Mall of America when I was going to college in Fargo. It was this RF video where it would have these... videos of wrestling events that you could not get. It was kind of like an underground tape trading thing. And I would go, like, when we would come from Fargo to the cities, we would go to the Mall of America and spend like $300 on wrestling tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just felt like we were just like so cool. But it's like, man, kiosks were the thing. But yeah, I felt like you could, when you go to a kiosk, you get something that you can't get anywhere else,
yeah,
which is kind of cool, like a one-off item.
No, I hear you, man. All right, real quickly before we head to top of the hour break and we talk to Jeff Hayden, former Minnesota senator, about everything that's going on in the Minnesota Senate and also Pete Hegseth. From the text line, Fox TV Channel 9 is your favorite channel? You're aware that you're on the WCCO airways right now, aren't you? Yes, Marcus, I'm aware of what channel I'm on. For the last time, WCCO Television and WCCO Radio are two different companies. We are Odyssey owned. They are CBS owned. And I'm sure that that will not be the last time that I'll say that. People don't get it. Former Minnesota Senator Jeff Hayden joins us in the studio next.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.